Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, you were asked a question. Basically, the question is, can God use broken people? Can he still bless people who have made all kinds of mistakes in their lives?
That's right. It's not just if he can forgive us.
Right.
It's how can he bless us?
Can he bless us?
Yeah. You know, in spite of what we've done.
That's
you know?
Right.
If you were with us yesterday, you know, we are studying the Gospel of Matthew.
That's right.
And how Matthew is trying to show us that all prophecy from the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus.
It's amazing that we're finding so much richness in something that is a lot of readers skip over when they start reading the Gospel of Matthew, and that's the genealogies.
That's right. Who was the father of who?
You think, give me a break. But there is something of value here, as we just saw yesterday.
Well, there's a lot of value too. Because there's a lot of very important points, theological points that are
that's
being
right.
made. And one of the great things is that four women are in this genealogy.
Which was really strange for a Jewish genealogy because it was a male-dominated society. And yet, women are mentioned in this genealogy, four
yes.
of them.
Go Matthew, putting women in the genealogy.
That's right. He's standing up for women. But the other thing about it is that none of these women are Jews, are they?
Well, you know, they really have very interesting stories.
They do have interesting
yes,
stories. In fact,
yes.
let's take a look at this. We got, first of all, in verse 3,
yeah,
it says,
have.
Judah, the father of Perez, and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar.
Yeah, Tamar. Tamar is the first of the grandmothers. I like to call these four women the grandmothers of Jesus
That's
because
right.
they're in the genealogy. And you can read Tamar's story in Genesis 38.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting story.
That's right.
And we're not going to go over that one right
mm-hmm.
now.
That's right.
Then the second interesting one is verse 5. You want to
mm-hmm.
read it?
Verse 5 says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now, Rahab was a prostitute.
Yes, and she was who the Bible says she was,
That's
you
right.
know. And this is a beautiful story. You can go
mm-hmm.
to it in the book of Joshua. You can read it in chapter 2 and chapter 6. And,
That's right.
and this is a wonderful story also.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third grandmother of Jesus.
That's right. It says, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth.
Yeah, this is in the same verse, verse 5
That's right.
Of chapter 1 of Matthew. Ruth, we have a whole book on Ruth.
That's right.
And
she was from Moab. She was a Moabitess.
That's right. She was, you know, it's very interesting because the book of Ruth also starts in Bethlehem.
That's right.
You know, if you went through mm-hmm. Through the program with us yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to concentrate on the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's read verse 6.
Verse 6 says, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife.
Yes,
and that, of course, is Bathsheba.
Bathsheba. You know what is interesting is that it says here that she had been somebody else's wife.
That's
I
right.
mean, yeah, Matthew makes a point
mm-hmm.
not just to kind of go over her history and
That's
say
right.
nothing happened here.
Yeah.
He says, no, it was David's wife, Bathsheba, but she had been somebody else's wife
first,
before,
right.
you know?
And of course, you know, if you're at all familiar with the Old Testament story, you know the story is that David's men went out to war. David's walking on the top of the palace. He looks over, finds this woman who's taking a bath, happens to be Bathsheba, who is Uriah the Hittite's wife. He invites her in. He impregnates her. When he finds out she's pregnant, he orders that Uriah be slain in battle. First, he tries to bring him back and have him sleep with his wife, but he's too dedicated to David to do this.
Doesn't this sound like a modern story, something
oh,
we could do a movie
soap
on?
Opera. This yeah. is a soap opera. But anyway, he does this, and then he can't succeed this way, so he sends him back into battle, has him slain, and then takes Bathsheba for his own wife.
That's
so
right.
this is quite a story.
Yes, and this story follows after the good chapter we read yesterday. Let us take you back to 2 Samuel chapter
mm-hmm.
7, where everything is going
mm-hmm.
well with David. You
That's
know?
Right.
He was a shepherd mm-hmm. kid, and he slain Goliath.
That's
and
right.
He did all things right, and he got anointed king, and there was
mm-hmm.
a period between his anointing and his appointment, because
right.
we always go through our cave times
That's
before
right.
appointing. And so he finally gets to the kingdom. Everything's going great.
Mm-hmm.
God makes a covenant. We're going to reread this part where God says to him that he will have a descendant.
That's right.
And verse 13,
mm-hmm.
God is talking to David about his descendant, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he shall build a house for my name. Your son is going to be the one that's going to build this house.
That's right.
And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So we know that there is this king coming.
That's right.
This king that will come after David. Mm-hmm. You know what his name is, right?
Yes, yes. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who's going to be the son of David. He is the fulfillment of this promise.
That's right.
The one who will reign forever.
But there was an immediate fulfillment of the mm-hmm. promise as well. It was the fact that David would actually have a son that will succeed him.
And that is Solomon.
Throne. That's right. Now,
Solomon comes from this union.
This is the part that I can't believe.
Between David and Bathsheba. David is married to other women. Why not pick one of those whose character seems to be more pure than Bathsheba?
I mean, what is the point God is trying to make here?
Because
you know, there were terrible consequences to what David did. Mm-hmm. You know, David lost the son Bathsheba had with him when they were not legally married.
That's right. So the fruit of this union, while she was still married to Uriah, that is the child that died.
Yes, and it's a very sad story. And if we pick it up on chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, you know, it seems like David has done the perfect crime.
Yeah.
You know?
He's gotten away with it.
He's gotten away with it. You know, he slept with somebody else's wife because that was the definition of adultery at that time. Mm-hmm. It was if you slept with somebody else's wife.
That's right.
And then he has the guy killed.
That's right.
You know, it's like, and he gets away with it, right?
That's right.
So the prophet comes with a little parable. This is the closest we have to a parable in all of the Old Testament, like a story that has more meaning than the one that...
Tells the story of a man who has a great many sheep, a very wealthy man, who has visitors come, and instead of killing one of his own sheep to prepare a banquet, he goes down and takes the only lamb, which is a family pet of a very poor man, right?
That's right. And this is so sad that David, it says on verse 5, David's anger burned because, you know, David as king was also the judge.
That's right. So
they would take to him cases, you know, like legal cases.
His sense of justice is just, now he's just enraged.
That's right. I mean, he has no clue that this is about him, right?
He's walking into this trap.
That's right. He is. And actually, he says, well, that man has to do this and that. Look at it, verse 5. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, look, he's even using
he's
the Lord.
Yeah.
Surely the man who has done this deserves to die. You know, and before he dies, he has to make restitution. And he, you know, this was a horrible thing.
That's
and then verse 7.
And then Nathan said to David, you are the man.
And he says, what? What do you mean I'm the man?
I didn't take anyone's sheep.
That's right.
I didn't take anyone's lamb. Oh, yes, you did, David. You took another man's wife.
That's right. And that's when Nathan starts bringing the point to his own life, to
David's
life, and says, you know, this is a horrible thing that you have done. And then verse 13.
Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die.
Yeah, and this is like, what do you mean I'm not going to die? I have done a terrible thing. And then God says, yeah, you'll have consequences. Unfortunately,
that's right.
the child
will die.
Will die. But you know, he begs the Lord and he says, I will like to die instead of this son. He does not die. And I have to tell you, verses 24 and verses 25 of this chapter have changed my life. And they were the answer that I gave this young adult to her question. Verse 24 says that when all of it was over.
Right. Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The Lord loved him.
You know, this is something amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, God will bring from this marriage that started wrong.
That's right. It started wrong.
As
you
wrong
couldn't
as
start
it gets.
Any more wrong than
That's
this.
That's right. As wrong as it gets.
I don't care what mistake you have made, listener. It's not been this bad.
Yeah. And if it has been, this is comfort to
That's
you.
That's right. That's right.
That God takes this very marriage. It's not like he didn't have other wives from David to choose from.
That's
I mean, he had a few.
Yeah, he had a few. Yeah,
that's right. And he could have said, look, I'm going to set an example that it never goes right when you start like this.
That's right. You know, so I won't choose Bathsheba. I'll let Solomon come from Michael or somebody else.
That's right.
But he didn't do that.
He didn't do that. He said, I'm going to choose this very marriage to show what grace is.
That's
and
right.
From the union of Bathsheba and David comes Solomon, who is known in history as the wisest
man
on earth.
Who ever lived, yeah.
You know, and you would think,
a great king of Israel who built the temple.
He did everything. I mean, the covenant with Abraham that God made had a geographical extension. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to go from this river to, and it only became true completely under the reign of Solomon.
Solomon's the one who fulfilled that.
You know,
and yet this, it is just incredible to me when you look at the terrible mistake that all four of these women made. All four of these women are included in this genealogy, and all but Ruth really made a bad mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here we've got Bathsheba, and from this horrible mistake, and she was culpable in this as well. It's not just David's sin.
Yeah, see, this is my comfort in my life.
Right.
God is greater than my mistakes.
That's right.
He's greater than my detours, and he blesses me even after I fall. Isn't that good news?
That is wonderful news, because all of us fall. Mm-hmm. And dear listener, if you find yourself in a situation much like this where you have made a mistake, where you have made maybe a series of mistakes, and you're wondering, is there any hope for me? This Bible passage, even in the genealogy of Jesus, tells us, yes, there is hope. You trust him, and he will bless you.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute, and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.